Deanie Richardson is my guest today. Deanie has a wonderful new album entitled Circle Up. It's on EMG Records. We're going to play a cut from that. All three tunes that we discussed in our chat are tunes that Deanie chose. So first we're going to hear Devil on the Stump. Then we're going to talk to Deanie about the song, how this album came together, and she'll introduce then the other two songs. And then we'll have a nice little closing tune from her. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Thank you so much, Deanie Richardson, for being available to chat with the audience here. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard Devil on the Stump, which is one of 12 incredible instrumentals from Deanie Richardson's latest album, Circle Up, which is on EMG. And I'm so happy to have, for the first time on Unreal Bluegrass, Deanie Richardson. How are you, Deanie?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me and for playing my tunes.
I'm thrilled to have both. I'm thrilled to have you and to have your music both. And I'm also thrilled that you're enjoying. This is a beautiful day where I'm at. I think we're about in the same weather. You're outside, so I thank you for sharing the birds.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I always enjoy that. Listen, you've been a very busy musician. I have another older album of yours. I know that you played with Sister Sadie and gotten all kinds of recognition. Talk a little bit about some of the selections, and the selection process always just enthralls me, because I don't know how someone as talented as you can let it come down to a dozen tunes. Let's talk a little bit about The Devil on the Stump, and that'll get us into the rest of the album. And I want to make sure we mention all the people that join you, and we'll talk about how the album came to be. So tell me a little bit about your selection of this tune that we just played for the audience.
Well, to tell you about that, I need to set the record up just a little. So the title of the record is Circle Up, and you can tell by the album cover what that means. It's what a square dance caller is going to say when the square dance is starting. Everybody circle up. So this album is a kind of a reflection on my growing up with my brother, who is a clogger, and being a part of his dancing journey, for lack of a better word there, as we were growing up, going to local square dances. And he was, I don't know, he's about 11 months and 28 days younger than me, so we're practically twins. So we would go to these local square dances so he could dance and I could fiddle, and just made so many lifelong friends doing that. And it was amazing to me to see a massive, we went to this place called the Lebanon Square Dance. It was a massive old skating rink and hardwood floor, and there was a full band on the stage. And when the caller would call the circle up and everybody get out there, there's, you know, 200 feet on this floor. And when all those feet started hitting that hardwood with the taps on their shoes, it was just the most powerful percussive sound. And you just don't forget that sound. It gets in your blood. And just watching the dancers and hearing those different rhythms and beats happening. So I wanted to do a record that sort of went back and reflected that part of my life, growing up with him at those square dances. And he's an incredible dancer. He's the lead dancer at the Grand Ole Opry. He's been doing that since he was 16 years old, and he's just incredible. And I remember as a kid hearing his rhythms. He would dance through the house. He would dance in Kroger. He would dance in Walmart. He danced everywhere, and just all those different rhythm patterns that he was creating with his feet. And then I would start incorporating my fiddle in a percussive way to, join his feet. And on my last record, I actually cut a tune with just him and me called Lost Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded his feet and my fiddle. And I just wanted this record to be all about that part of mine and his life together. It was such a special time, and we met so many friends that we still play music with and dance with. So this record, every song I picked on this record has a percussive, they didn't have that originally, some of them didn't, but I made them that.
Right.
So my purpose about each song that I picked, or my intention, was that you could dance to it of some form. So Devil on the Stump is a tune I learned from an Art Stamper record. And the first time I heard this tune, it just blew me away. First, it's in the key of C, and it's, that wasn't one of my favorite keys to play in. So when I heard this tune, that B part had that boom, and it just was so percussive, that B part. So I thought, I've got to learn this tune. And then I am one of the staff fiddlers at the Grand Ole Opry, so I get to go out there and play for the square dancers, which is my brother and all of our friends at the Grand Ole Opry. And when I learned this tune, Steve, I said, I got to try it. I got to try it on the Opry. Mm. So when I lit into that B part, you could just hear those feet matching the don't stick it, don't stick it, don't stick it. And it was just, it was perfect. So I made it a square dance piece, and I played on the Opry lots of many nights when I'm there. So that's where that came from, an Art Stamper tune, and I just thought it fit perfectly.
Well, and then to follow up on your discussion of your brother, Clyde, the album, mm-hmm. There's a beautiful photograph on the front. That's your brother, Clyde, and Marcia Campbell, I think. That's who's
They've been dance partners since they were 10 years old. Yeah. The two of them have been dancing together. So I wanted them on the front. It kind of just tied it all together.
Yeah. It's a great picture. I like the way... the emphasis on the movement. In other words, there aren't faces. You didn't accidentally cut someone's head off, which I often do in a photograph. The purpose of this photograph is to collect that movement get that feel of what's happening as they dance. It's just perfect.
Right. Me. It's all a percussive, rhythm-based, record for me. So, yeah.
There are so many great tunes. There's a lot of public domain tunes that you and Glenn Duncan, who helped on this record, recorded. And those are great. Well, that's going to come from that whole tradition of if you want to call it the square dance or whatever, those uh-huh. songs have been around forever, but they're always good and available to reinterpret, and you've done a great job. And I know that you and Glenn arranged a lot of there's four public domain tunes on the album, and some things you wrote and something you wrote with Glenn that I want to talk about in a little bit, but those are tunes you have to record. You have to do it.
You do, and I wanted to do an old school fiddle record. You know, the last record I cut, I had guest vocalists on, and we kind of, all of us fiddlers, we don't really sing, or some of us don't. So we're cutting fiddle records and bringing in guest vocalists, and I just wanted to really go back and do just an old-school Tommy Jackson sort of fiddle record,
And you end it with a Tommy Jackson song.
Yeah.
Rachel, isn't that Tommy Jackson?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah, the last cut of the 12.
And
they're all, you can hear it, and I kind of was guessing at the description inside the... Thank you so much for the album, so I could look at it and touch it and feel it and read all the notes.
Sure.
But I was kind of getting that that's what this was, and the way you describe it helps me understand more why it comes across that way clearly. So just as you have upbeat tunes like the very first cut on the album is Walking in My Sleep, there's tunes that are upbeat. You also have to let them catch their breath, so there's a couple of waltzes on here.
Yeah, I mean, at that Lebanon Square Dance where we would go, they'd play a fiddle tune, and they'd dance for 15, 20 minutes, and then they would play a two-step. And I remember my brother, I jokingly say that, he was this little guy, and as soon as that square dance would end, he would grab some lady that he probably never even met, and he'd be about boob heights to her, and they'd hit the floor, and they'd start two-stepping all over the floor. So I wanted the whole record just to be like a night at that square dance, so... we did Across the Harpeth River.
Yeah, that's a tune that you wrote with Glenn Duncan, is what my notes say.
Right. Glenn and I wrote that. We spent an afternoon together, and I had so much fun. Oh, my gosh. I'd known Glenn my whole life since I've played with the Coon Creek Girls back in the 80s, and really became aware of Glenn Duncan and his playing and became a fan then. But to get to spend all this time with him, I learned more in 4 weeks about fiddle playing from Glenn Duncan than I have my whole life. So truly, truly grateful to get to spend that time with him and learn from him. And we sat down one afternoon at a place I teach in Nashville and wrote those songs and just talked fiddles and spent several hours just having a blast. So we wrote that one together. And I'm from Kingston Springs, Tennessee, which is where the Harpeth River,
that's right,
we used to spend a lot of time on the Harpeth River there. And so we wrote that and decided to call it that. And that's your two-step for the record. And then Glenn had this waltz he had written, and called the Shades of Autumn. and it was gorgeous and so hard to play. He taught me so much about double stops.
Well, on my notes, I take notes before I have guests on, just so I have a reference. My word behind next to that song, the one you just mentioned, Shades of Autumn, is gorgeous. I wrote gorgeous. That's what I wrote. Gorgeous waltz is my word. So I'm glad you picked up my signal on that, or I picked up yours, or somehow it worked out. But it is. And you know, Glenn's been a guest on Unreal Bluegrass, and I'm telling you, I did a two broadcast set of information that he, because there's so much that he's lived through and so much that he's done.
And a great story,
and we barely scratched the surface. We barely did, but he covered it all from his first day on it. But I'm glad that he worked with you, and I think you must be glad with it. He did so much great work. There are his playing, of course, he's Glenn Duncan. I mean, that's the guy. But let's talk, before we get too much further into the album, some of the musicians that Glenn plays with you. Glenn plays, if I'm reading the notes correctly, a tenor. It says tenor and banjo fiddles on number 4, which is at Across the Harpeth River. And there's the rooster.
There it is. You're going to die when you hear what his name is.
Well, tell me.
Curly Peckler.
Oh, geez, I like that. That's good. Okay, that's good. Well, now I know. And there he is again, confirming that that's his name.
And I've got a little Jimmy Chickens out here, too, running around somewhere.
Okay, let's talk about Glenn Duncan's musical contribution to that tune. And you list him as Glenn Duncan tenor and baritone fiddles on number 4, which is the Across the Harpeth.
Yeah, so we wanted, I wanted him to play something on it. I wanted him to be a guest on the record, too. So that two-step lent itself really well to some triple fiddles. So on that B part, Glenn comes in with the part over me and the part under me. And it just worked out beautifully. And that B part is just totally caught me off guard when he went to that E flat there in that chord in that song. So I think the triple fiddle coming in, the E flat key change there, it just was perfect. I love it.
You have, and on that number 4 also, you have some, throughout the album you have Casey Campbell, who we know very well, Cody Kilby, Scott Vestal, Rob Ikes pops up on number 4, which is the tune we're talking about now, Across the Harpeth River, and he also pops in on Shades of Autumn Waltz, which is the tune that Glenn Duncan wrote that we're talking about. So Rob jumps in on both of those nice, pretty waltz tunes.
And Dennis Krauss playing bass.
Yeah, I didn't mean to ignore him. I know that bass players think they're ignored. I just haven't gotten back up there yet.
Yeah, so it's a great group of players, and I tell you what, we went in there and cut this thing pretty old school, too. They're such great players. We cut this entire record, Steve, in a day, the whole record.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is how long did it take you to do it, so you jumped ahead of me on that one.
We were just in and out, and it was so much fun. I wanted this thing to feel old and live, and by old, I just mean like the old guys cut them, you know? You don't sit and fix things over and over and over and try to perfect it, but you create this energy and this I don't know. There's this major energy that happens when you're just in there playing together as you would in your living room rather than trying to make a record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a different vibe.
If you just tuned in to Unreal Bluegrass, I'm happy to talking with Deanie Richardson. We're talking about her latest album, Circle Up. And you're talking about how it was recorded. I think that it's always, if you can get everybody in the same room and you have that energy back and forth of the live. You're talking about the fact you recorded this entire album, all 12 tunes in one day, because everybody was there. So you're doing that, you're seeing people, and things all fit together. I know that it has to happen. I know that there have to be parts that are mailed in. I get that. But if you have the opportunity to sit and bring in everybody and just do it while you're sitting there eyeballing each other and feeling that vibe off of the music and off of what the other people are contributing to it, that's the way to do it.
It is, and I learned that from Emery Gordy. Patty Loveless, her husband, Emery Gordy, is her producer. And, you know, I worked with Patty for 20, 25 years now. And he those Mountain Soul records that we did that were so great, we sat literally in a circle looking at each other, you know, cut those things live. So, which is the way the old guys did it, and there's just so much great energy. Might not be perfect. Somebody might throw a note or two, but the energy is just, for me, it's worth it.
I mean,
capture that energy.
Deanie, the point you're making and the way I take the things that happen live, if there's a note that's not, maybe there's just an nth of, you all professionals. Listen, to the people listening, Deanie Richardson is a professional as you can get as a fiddle player, and she mentioned a little bit of the stuff she's done, but she's top flight as far as you want a fiddle player that can do this. Deanie's the one, but all these people in a room together, those little changes, those little things that maybe something, that's, you're right, that's the way it sounds. If you did it live, I'm sure everybody.
It'd be the same way.
So you're doing it live. You're really preserving it live without an audience, and you're doing it sort of in the way that used to happen when Flatt & Shrugs or the Osmond Brothers. When they went into the studio, they didn't have a lot of time, so they didn't mull things over and re-edit. They'd been on the road playing these songs.
There was no Pro Tools.
No, that's right. So when they hit the studio, which cost money, they were there. Boom, they did it, and they were out. And sometimes you even hear mistakes that are all made. Everybody talks about the one with the...
And if there's a major flub, you everybody's got to do it over.
That's right,
There's some great energy in that, too, where you just kind of go for it. You have to let down the need for it to be perfect.
The energy comes through that. Yeah, that's the best description, is the energy. And you can tell that the live aspect, although I don't think it affects people like you and certainly the people you have on this album, it does a little bit. There's a little bit of an edge because you don't want to make a mistake. You shouldn't. You probably won't.
Right.
But there's still there's a little bit of that edge that you're doing this for real, for keeps. And you want it to all blend together well. And the whole thing does. It's just great. I love, like I said, some of these public domain tunes. You have to put on Fisher's Hornpipe. The Old Hen Cackled, there's a couple others. Those are just tunes you must have played a million times. So when you come back to choosing those things, they're still there handy, and you add all these other musicians, but they're just great versions of tunes that we've all heard, but these are great versions of them.
And I really went back and thought about, like, Peacock Rag and Durham's Bull, thought about those from a dance perspective. I really tried to hear the Tap Shoes and how can I make these percussive, you know, because I love playing for dancers. I grew up doing it, and I can hear those feet, you know, so I was really thinking about those old tunes that I grew up playing with my grandfather. How can I make them a real percussive version of this tune, you know?
Which leads us, magically, I want you to introduce this song. Deanie, I want you to introduce Dancing with James. It'll be a second song. We'll cut to that. It's a tune you wrote, and I'm sure that it fills in all these things you're discussing as far as the inspiration, the name of the album. But talk a little bit about this great banjo playing throughout. But on this one, the banjo playing, which, you know, Scott Bestel, so he can play. But talk a little bit about the tune you wrote, Dancing with James, and we're going to play that for the audience, and I'll come back and we'll talk a little more.
Sure. So I have some friends that I've known for 10, 15 years, and they are just wonderful people, great friends of mine, and they have a special needs son who's just turned 14, and his name is James. And I was over there one day, had my fiddle, and James loves music. He's nonverbal. He's just can't walk. You know, he's just got lots of issues, but he loves music, and he loves rhythms. So I was just sitting there playing my fiddle for James. He was laying on the sofa, and I started creating that rhythm. And the more I played it, the more I sped it up.
I love it when fiddle players sing, because that's how you all sound. I love that.
Yeah.
Do a cover a cappella of this whole album.
Oh, that'll be my next record.
Okay, go ahead. All right, James, we're talking about James. I interrupted you.
Yeah, so James starts gyrating around, and just he's getting completely into that rhythm, and he's getting vocal about it. And so I wrote that whole tune right there with him, just, and the more he moved, the more I made, you know, accentuated those rhythms. And I hadn't thought about that tune in years, because that was probably, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And then when I started thinking about this record, I remembered that percussive B part in that tune. So I went back and revisited that and thought, oh my gosh, it works. So I got to put it on there. So that's what this tune, where it came from. And this is for Little James Tennyson.
Little James Tennyson. So that's Deanie giving a great intro to the next tune we're going to play off of Circle Up. And she told you the name is Dancing with James. She's giving you all the reasons why it came to be. So we're going to play Dancing with James from Circle Up, and I'll be back to talk to Deanie. I'm not finished with you yet. We'll play that, and we'll come back and talk some more. All right, there it was, Dancing with James. We're back with Deanie Richardson. We've been talking about Circle Up, which is on EMG, and has a host of great tunes, interpretations of tunes, and so many great musicians on it. And as we've learned also, it's kind of done. Well, it was done in one day with everybody there, so you're really hearing, in essence, a live album without an audience.
Right, right. Good players. It was a magical day. It was just fun. I haven't had so much fun recording and been that relaxed recording, and maybe never, actually.
Well, it's time. Then it's time to. You've been a busy player, and you've been... I kind of alluded to this earlier that Deanie's been playing. I've seen you play many times, by the way, just because I roam around a lot. But Deanie's been playing at an incredible level of perfectionist professionalism for a long time. It just may not be that we, a listening audience and maybe a bluegrass-oriented show, can always pick out where you are, or maybe you're not recording, but you've been playing nonstop for all these years, and I love it when someone like that puts out a great album like this. It's just, it's fun to go back and think about, oh yeah, this is Deanie Richardson, who is a professional's professional. I think you fit in that class of those musicians that other similarly situated musicians would say, yeah, that's the person that, you know, I would aspire to be. And this is someone who's had that career that's just illustrious. I mean, you've done and played everywhere.
Thank you. I've been very blessed, and I say with most sincerity is I've never had to take a job for money. You know what I mean? Because I had to. Every job I've had, every gig I've had, has been someone I've really wanted to work with. So I am very, very blessed to have worked with Patti Loveless, Vince Gill, Bob Seger, the Chieftains, Dell and Bradley, Sister Sadie. I mean,
that's a nice list.
I've never had to go take a gig I really didn't want to do because I needed the money.
Well, I think that again reflects on the skill level and the people trust you to come in and do that job. And you mentioned Bob Seger?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to ask you a little bit about that. How does that work?
Well, in 2014, I guess it was, around 2014, I got a call that Bob was going to be in Nashville cutting a record and wanted to put fiddle on this record. And you're going to die when I tell you this one, because
I didn't die when you told me your rooster's name. I'm ready for this.
So I go in to record fiddle on a Bob Seger record. I always wanted to do this rock and roll tour. I said, before I'm done, I'm going to do a rock and roll tour. I just want to know what that's like. I just didn't know who it would be with. But anyway, prior to the getting the call to play on his record, I was in Detroit playing with Patti Loveless, and Bob is a huge Patti Loveless fan. So he came to the show. We got to meet him backstage, and he watched Patti's entire show side stage and was just the most sweet, gracious man. And then a few years later, he does a record and wants fiddle on it. He remembered me from Patti and called me to play on this record. So I get in there to record fiddle on Bob Seger's new record, and who's playing banjo on this record but Glenn Duncan.
Oh, no kidding.
So Glenn and I were in the exact same room recording on this Bob Seger record, and it was just full circle to get to do this record with him. But I got to go tour with Bob. We went and toured that record and spent a whole year out with him, just got my rock and roll tour in before I give it up. So.
And I have to ask you now, Deanie, what was the record that launched that tour? What were you recording on?
It was Ride Out, I believe, is the name of that
record.
Okay.
All right.
And he loves bluegrass music, so he just wanted that instrumentation, fiddle and banjo, on a couple tunes, and I went out and did this whole tour. I only played maybe 3 to 4 songs every night on stage because there's no fiddle on Turn the Page, you know.
Right.
So I went out and did this whole tour and played 3 or 4 songs and got to do my rock and roll tour and met some great people. And Bob was just, I can't say enough good about him. He's just, he's the most musical person I think I've ever been around.
Really?
And inspiring. He just is eat up with music. And being in the studio with him and on stage with him, it's always 110%, you know. It's just so musical.
His voice is always in a key that I think surprises people how high he sings, really. He's way up there. He starts out way up in the clouds, just high, 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 powerful voice.
Yeah, he's something. Even then, he was still giving it hell out there, so I'm just glad I got to go do that. Really,
that's great. Well, that's a great story. Deanie Richardson, I'm talking to today. I'm so happy you send me the album and have consented to chatting a little bit about it. I thoroughly enjoy it. I have it on in the car a lot. I talked to you the other day. I was sitting in my real job's office, and I had it on in the background. Not that it should be ignored. It's not background music. It's not. I just enjoyed hearing it throughout the day, and that's how I absorb these tunes, is full immersion, so that I kind of know what we're talking about. So thank you so much for all the effort put into it. Everybody on it, the producers, you know, Adam Englehart, mm-hmm. always contacts me. I know Adam from a couple different sources, so it's on his label.
Right.
EMG, he's doing interesting stuff all the time, even with, I think, Rodney Dillard. I think he sent Rodney Dillard my way, and all kinds of interesting stuff. So, with that having been said, Circle Up is the album we're talking about. It was released in 2020. At least the date that I have on the back. Is that one that was made available in 2020, or the date that it was just released?
I should say 2021, because we just released it.
Well, I thought that. Well, hold on.
Yeah.
On the back of mine, it
we
says,
recorded in 2020.
Yeah, it has. On the back of mine, it has 2020.
Huh. First mistake I've seen. That's good.
Well, there you go. Now you know. It's too late to fix
now
it.
Now I'm going to go to Adam and...
It'll be one of those Mandela effect things where for so long everybody thought it was 2021, it was really 2020. So here, let's come back. Let's come back to another tune, Sumner County Stomp, and that's one with you and Glenn. We've talked about Glenn a lot, and this is one of the ones that that you and he play together. And lead into that a little bit. We'll play that. I'll let you go.
Well, this is one that we wrote that day we got together, and I think he kind of had a piece of it already, and we just finished it up that day. And Glenn lives in Gallatin, Tennessee, and I spent 20 years up in Hendersonville, Tennessee. So that both of those are in Sumner County, and we just thought it fitting to have that little swinging thing represent his time in Sumner County and my time in Sumner County. So just one we wrote together, and I love it. It's a hard tune to play. And it was probably my most challenging tune that day to play. Cool. But I really love how it came out.
Well, I like it too. But let me ask you, Deanie Richardson, one of the best fiddle players on the planet, how could this be? What's the hard part for you to play this song?
Well, it's in a not-so-fiddle-friendly key. It's in a B-flat and F. And there's a lot of double stops and shifting. And like I said, Glenn taught me a lot in 4 weeks about double stops, and I was kind of making things hard on myself. I'm a technically trained fiddler. I grew up learning to read and learning first, second, third positions, and Glenn, you know, just showed me some really great tricks about getting between those three positions without being so rigid and technical about it. I tend to be a type A rigid kind of person, and he just helped me a lot. Working around those things and just taught me so much in that short period of time. But it was just out of my comfort zone. So 4 weeks of working on that, and then we went in and cut it. And it was a hard piece, but I really like how it came out. Mm-hmm. And I've been teaching it. I got students yesterday and today who've been wanting to learn it. So I've been teaching it for the past 2 days.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'm gonna cut to that song. I'm going to thank you again, Deanie, for coming out to Unreal Bluegrass, great new album, Circle Up. You've explained the title. You've explained the reason for these songs, why they persist in public domain, and why they persist to you for the experience that you've had of playing them and hearing them and having people stomp around. There's your brother and Marcia Campbell stomping around on the front. Beautiful picture of you on the back, by the way.
Thank you. Really, I appreciate nice you playing my tunes, playing the Sister Sadie tunes, and all of us girls, and we appreciate your support. We couldn't do it without you.
Well, listen, I'm going to say goodbye to you, and then for the audience, we're going to play that tune you just described, Sumner County Stomp. By the way, what's a stomp?
Well, it's just, I don't really know. That's
okay.
A good question.
All right.
It sounds like something you might do on a dance floor.
Sounds like it. I just never knew. I kind of know what rags are, and I kind of know what waltzes are, and I've seen stomp, and I thought, well, Deanie would know what a stomp, because here's
there's the Sugar Tree Stomp.
There's lots of stomps. Yeah. I just don't know what does it just mean stomp? I don't, it doesn't matter. I'm going to let you go. Thanks, Deanie. Good luck on the new album, Circle Up, release 2021, we just discovered.
Thank you.
And I'm going to let you go, then the audience at Unreal Bluegrass will hear Sumner County Stomp. I will talk to you later.